Gentlemen, we are in Shaar Beis, Perek Yud Beis, and I wanted to finish what we started talking about, which is it's a complicated topic because whenever we're talking about Tsar and Yesurim, it's a complicated topic, in my opinion. Because at the end of the day, Chazal say, "Ein lanu mishalvas harishoyim v'miyisuri atzadikim." Nobody really understands why, somebody wrote a book. Why do the righteous suffer? Which was Shtus' book, and then somebody wrote a sequel saying, "Well, why do the wicked flourish?" Equals to us, like Elon, Ein Biyadeinu, Loi Mishalvas Harishayim, Yisuri Atzadikim. So it's a difficult topic to talk about because we don't know. Chazal say we don't know. But that being said, there is something that we do have to learn about it. And if we just ignore the fact that we, Tzadikim here, have Yisurim, so then we kind of miss. Not just miss the boat, but we miss a whole opportunity just to say "Ein lanu ein biyadeinu." I mean, that's not an answer. So I'd just like to explain a little bit further, go a little bit deeper, that what we spoke about last time. The first words of Perek Yud Beis is Amar Azal Brachas Samach Gimel Amud Aleph Kol Ameshatev Shem Shomayim Bitzaroi Koiflin Loi Parnasasai. This is the Gemara that we're trying to explain. Kol ha-mishatev shem shamayim b'tzarei. He makes a partner with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his tzar. Vosepis, a partner with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his tzar. And he explains, it's easy enough to read the words. The words are that imoy anoichi b'tzara, every time we have tzar, Hashem has tzar. And if a person is bitzar, and instead of davening that their tzar should go away, they realize that Hashem is bitzar, and that they daven that Hashem's tzar should go away, so you're better off that way. These are easy words to say, and I experimented with this in my own tefillah, and I find that I just can't find myself feeling sorry for God. I just doesn't work. Maybe I'm just not the madrega, but. If I have a headache, I'm bespalled. Must speak that I'm bespalled that I should take away my headache or my pain or my. Tsar is a big thing. I'll tell you something that made a roshim on me is that years ago. So, Rav Shmuel Birnbaum, Olav Shalom, was the Rosh Yeshiva of Mir in America. There's a mirror from Europe, and he was Rosh Yeshiva Mir on Ocean Parkway in Brooklyn. And his son was a chavrusa of mine, and a friend, close friend. Years ago, he was in Brisk, I was in Torah Or, somehow we became friends. And I remember him telling me, like Bachram talk about the future and what's going to be, and he was saying, the one thing I don't have to worry about is the future, because his father, his uncles, everybody were the Rosh Yeshivas of Mir, and he's shoo-in to be the Rosh Yeshiva of Mir, and, it's very clear, Shidduch is not going to be an issue with him, and nothing's going to be an issue. Anyways, came Ben Azmanim that year, and he infamously was traveling in Netanya, and he was shot dead. This was a shocking thing. It was not by a terrorist, but he was shot dead because he did what Bachram do, and he sort of camped out. They got to Tzadzer around the beach and around there at around 2 o'clock in the morning, and didn't want to sleep on the beach, so they went into the garden of the Galley Tzadz Hotel, and they set up camp. And the guard, who was half asleep, woke up and saw people coming. He shot him, and he died. Tragic story. Probably just as tragic for the guard as it was the fellow went totally crazy. But so much for his future. He was a good guy. But kachazanigbar the story. But I remember at the shloishim of that. So Rav Shmuel Birnbaum who's a big Rosh Hashiva, so he came to speak in Yerushalayim. He spoke actually in the Nevei Simcha, the Beis Medrash of Nevei Simcha on Saratskin. And everybody went. It was the Shloshim for his son, Gadol B'Tayra, the Shloshim of his son. And he spoke about Yisurim. That's what he spoke about. That was the subject of his talk, of his shir, was Yisurim. And which I don't remember the shir, unfortunately. I'm sure it's somewhere on tape. But what I do remember is the opening line. The opening line of his shir was that he used to think that the most painful thing in the world was a really bad toothache until his son got shot. And he realized the Yisurim go much deeper and it could take over your whole life. And it's not something that can be isolated at all. And it's not something that any painkiller is going to work for. The pain was on a whole different level. So here you had, and it stuck with me for now 40-some years, here we have Tzaddik, B'Yisurim, and the question is as alive now as it is then, like, Eid B'Yadeinu, Loi B'Shalvas HaRashoyim, Yisuriya Tzaddikim. Son was a tzaddik, he was a tzaddik, the father's a tzaddik, the mother's a tzaddik. So it doesn't make any sense, and I can't explain it. So that's my problem with Perek Yud Beis. That being said, Torah he, lil boi nani tzarech. So let's just try to understand something here. What does it mean to be mishatev shem shemayim b'tzaroi, koyfel loy parnasasai? And I'd like to explain the following. I might have touched on this in the past. That when it comes to chet, a person does a chet, eats treif, kills somebody, talks lashon hara, choose your favorite chet. A person does a chet, the Rabbi Yehuda Shari Tshuva, he explains that there's two things that went wrong here, not just one. There's two things that went wrong. Here Hashem creates the world. We're in the world, we're meant to do something, and we do a chet. So we're meant to accomplish something, we do a chet. So there's two things that happen. Number one is we did a chet. We pushed the wrong button. Imagine somebody pushes the wrong button and, God forbid, blows up a theater or friendly fire or not so friendly fire. You know, you did a chet. You killed a guy. That's one part of the chet. It could be a chet ben adam l'makom. So if I did a chet ben adam l'makom, maybe something we don't understand, we could understand a little bit, that I've done something which is created some kind of a chesard in the bria itself. As Rabbeinu Yehuda in Shari Tshuva, there's another part to the chet, and that is that my relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu has moved a step away. He says even b'shogeg, baby step, but it's easy enough for us to understand that if a child, let's say, it's not a complicated thing, if a child does something wrong and does damage, so one part of it is the damage. Second is, why don't you listen to me? Like, how could you do this to me? How could you move away from me this way? So there's two parts of it. So there's a stira. The Marsha asks a stira, famous stira, Sanhedrin, maybe Ayin Zayin. The Marsha says that you have two gemaras. One gemara says, "Machshava ra loy mitzdarif lemaisa." First, machshava ra means you plan on doing something bad. Doesn't mean that just had a machshava ra. You plan on doing something bad, but it didn't happen. It didn't work out for you. So, machshava ra, says the Gemara, loy mitzdarif lemaisa. Just al derech mashal, like in this country, they have a rule, that if a terrorist, loy aleinu, walks into a building, tries to blow up the whole thing, it messes up, because mishkin sach seichel, or whatever, or he's drunk. So, we don't knock down his house, he did the whole thing. So somehow we're from this, machshava ra, Leibetzarif Lebaisa. It's a Gemara. Achshavara Leibetzarif Lebaisa. You like it? You don't like it? Makes sense? Doesn't make sense? That's
except by a goy.
Don't do the math.
As long as you don't do a baisa.
Except by a goy.
You pull the thing, nothing happens. Okay. That's the kasha. That's not the answer. But at least for a Jew, machshavara leibetzarif Lebaisa. Goy is machleik is habarai. That's what it. Yeah. That's one Gemara. There's another Gemara which says, Hirhuri Avera, Koshin Be Avera. Hirhuri Avera, Koshin Be Avera. So what's Hirhuri Avera mean? You're fantasizing about doing an Avera. You wake up in the morning, you think, I'm just going to kill this guy. And then you see that thought really makes you feel good. So you start, thinking about how you're going to do it. Everything. Now, you're not going to kill the guy. That's not going to happen. But you just like thinking about it. Hirhuri Avera. Or, you try to imagine what it would feel like to eat treif or do whatever Avera. Again, pick your Avera. I'd really like to hurt somebody. I'd really like to eat this, say that, whatever. So this thing Gemara says, astonishingly, really, Hirhuri Avera. That's even worse than Aver. Hirhuri Aver, Kashav Aver. Frank de Marsha, how could it be if Machshav Ra, Leimitzav Sarah Lemaisa, what is that telling us? That Machshav is not nothing. I mean, it doesn't count, Machshav. And Mitzad Sheni, Hirhuri Aver. It's interesting, it doesn't say Machshav is Aver, but Hirhuri Aver. Kashav Aver. So Marsha's Kashav is Gevald. How could it be? It's a stira, Mavish stira. And there's no machlaikas about either one of them, by the way, by a Jew. But mitzad echu we say machshav hara loy mitzarav levaisa mitzad sheni hirhuri aver kashav aver. So yeah.
Oh, and in the base of mikdash, if he has a big thought,
that's a maisa. Over the base of mikdash is a special din that a machshavas pigel is considered a maisa. It's not, but that's not a machshav. It's a very good question, but that goes out of this category. That's the exception. According to the Rambam. Yeah, yeah. Even that, but you're not, even when you do the dibur, you're lechayev for the. So let me get the alamdan here. Two cases in the Gemara. Alo b'machshavtoi lechol basir chazir. Person decides I'm going to have some chazir today. And he ends up with something kosher. Right? So, it could be such a, a person decides, it's like an interesting, scenario. It's like a person decides, the heck with everything, I'm going to eat treif. I always wanted to eat treif, there's no reason why I shouldn't eat treif, I'm just going to eat treif. And he gets on the bus, and he's going to go out of the Jewish neighborhood, he's going to find a place that they sell treif. Right, goes to Abu Ghush or something. He finds a place where they can eat treif, and goes down and orders. What would you like to eat tonight, sir? Treif. Just as long as it's treif. I just want to eat treif. He's an advice of merit. It doesn't make any difference if it's it doesn't make any difference. I just want to eat treif. I need to have a suda of treif. Okay, so the guy serves him and he eats and he rebelled and everything and. Little does he know that, Abu Ghosh ran out of food and they bought all their food from Tellstone that night. So this is the pshat, the case of the Gemara. Things just don't go well for this guy. Here's the case of the Gemara that b'machshavtoi, he wants to eat basar chazir, v'ala b'yadoi, basar tle. I thought I ate treif, I wanted to eat treif, I did everything to eat treif. Oh, okay, more sophisticated. You could have the other case, the other scenario, which is unfortunately all too common, where a person goes to the best shchita in town, he goes to the most chashuva butcher in town, but he doesn't have a uvda, you go to the most chashuva butcher in town, and everything is trustworthy, and everything is good, and he's got 100 pictures of gedolim on the wall and everything, and it comes out, he's buying Purdue chickens, it comes out, that's right, buy sashaya. So here's a person who's making Kiddush and Brachas and maybe a Chassidus Shetish, and it's all treif. Everything is treif. Everybody's heard these nightmarish stories of eating treif. It was the case of the Gemara. What his machshava was to eat basar tleh, ba'ala biyadai basar chazir. So you have two cases. And what you have, and if I could just paraphrase Rabbeinu Yonah, he brings these two cases. Rabbeinu Yonah is a Char Tshuva. Says Rabbeinu Yonah that what you really have here, the two cases, if you analyze it, the two cases are in one case, case A, if you take every Aveir and you say there's two parts to it. There's the relationship I have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then there's the Maisa Aveir. So in the case of I want to eat treif, he's definitely severing the relationship. But it didn't work out for you, so you didn't do the Maisa Aveir. But you did the Chelek Aleph of the Aveir, which is severing the relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Case B, I didn't sever the relationship. I want nothing more than to eat kosher. But Lamaisa, I did an Aveir. I ate Basar Chazir. What would happen to us if we ate Basar Chazir? You make it soybean, you make it tightness, you try to get it out of your system. Whatever you do, whatever your derech is, do what you're, ask your local Orthodox rabbi, what are you supposed to do if I accidentally eat treif? But one thing is for sure, like he's a tzaddik, he didn't mean to do anything wrong. This kid, such a thing has happened to very, very chashuv people. It can happen. But so in case two, says Rabbeinu Yonah, you have the Maisa Avera, but you have the Maisa Avera, but you didn't sever the relationship between yourself and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So there's two parts to the Avera. That's what Rabbeinu Yonah says. So ask Rabbeinu Yonah, and really this is the Marsha, saying pretty much the same thing, which is the worst? Who's the worst guy? The guy who wanted to eat treif but ate kosher, or the guy who wanted to eat kosher but ate treif? Who's the guiltier party? And this says the Gemara, here hure aver kashin be aver. It's the pshat in the Gemara. Here hure aver kashin be aver. If you have to compare, if you have to make a choice, so to speak, or divide between the relationship aspect of an Avera and the actual pu'ula of doing the Avera, severing the relationship here, Huri Avera, is kashin, that's worse than the Avera itself. That's the pshat of the Gemara. This is a marshal's pshat of the Gemara. Says Rabbi Yehuda, that's pshat of the other Gemara of Allah B'yadai Basar Tleh. They're both saying pshat in two different Gemaras, but they both say the same Yisai.
Amen.
So, what's the pshat machshava ra? Loi mitzdarif lemaisa. If this is true, how do we learn the machshava ra loi mitzdarif lemaisa? So this gemara la'anias daiti is a statement of fact. The fact of the matter is that you can think all you want, a maisa you didn't do. So could be it's Yehur Avera, which is Kasha Be'Avera. But in terms of whether you need a Maisa, in other words, there's Machshava, there's Dibur, there's Maisa. If you need a Chet, for instance, for Beis Din to give you an Oynish, or even for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give you an Oynish, you need a Chet. It has to Druk Sechois in a Maisa. We understand this, by the way. We understand this because Machshava, Dibur, Amaisa is three different Olamos. After the world of Atzilus, there's Bria, there's Yetzira, there's Asiya. There's four Olamos, four. Well, there may be billions of Olamos, but the ones four that we've identified is Atzilus, Hashem's world, let's say, Eitzel Hashem. Bria is where the Bria begins. Bria, Yetzira, Asiya. Machshava, Dibur, Amaisa. Goes together because they're parallels. Machshava, Dibur, Umaisa. In other words, in our old life, we have when we have the first kernel of a thought, and then Yetziro, which is already creative, right? The machshava yitzirati, like we're creative. Then you have ma'isa. I actually did something about it.
Didn't we also discuss here or as well, was like a fourth element?
It could be. We discussed back in Perek Aleph, but litzarcheinu, a chet. There's such a thing as a chet b'machshava. This gets to your pigle question, really. There's such a thing as a chet b'machshava. Because the Gemara says the exception to the rule of machshava ra'alai b'tarif l'mais is avodah zarah. So avodah zarah, like the whole thing is machshava. Whole thing is machshava. What does it mean, according to what we're learning? The whole thing is ki kel kadohu. It's not that I said salami baloney and I bow down to an avodah zarah. The issue is, how could you slap Hashem in the face that way, by worshiping an avodah zarah? It's meaning we're not talking about stupid people. We're talking about people that said, "But I can get something out of worshiping this avodah zarah. I can get some kind of a skula from it. I can get something." You know, like in Yeshayahu, it says that it helped avodah zarah helped their farming. You know, log. What about it? So, you know, there's a lot of Gemaras that call, like Sina could be like Avodah Zarah. Kol HaKoyes Kilu Oivad Avodah Zarah. There's a lot of Rishonim that learn that Avodah Zarah is just like an Avmalach. There's a lot of Toldos that go under. But, but if it doesn't come, Lamaisa, so you can question. But you see, one thing's for sure, you see that. Bayis Risha was Nechra because of Avodah Zarah, Gilur Arayis Shvichas Dabim. And the Bayis Shadi was Sina, which is a Davar Shebelev. And you see that it was worse. So it's you see that clearly. But, yeah.
I think also there's another differentiation. There are certain thoughts which, in and of themselves, are
Sina.
In and of itself, the thought process is a chet.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, I think everybody in the world has had a situation where he's confronted with an opportunity, the berachot, to steal, to commit other types of avarot. And the thought crosses his mind. But then he wipes it out. He doesn't do it. You don't get punished for thinking evil.
That's true, but I'm not sure if that's what Chazal are saying. I'll tell you why. Because machshava ra loy mitstarif lemaisa means that you actually planned. That's how, in other words, what it means is you actually planned on doing it, but you missed the guy.
That's not the example I'm giving.
I know, but that's the example of the Gemara.
Yeah,
the machshava ra is not either. Doesn't it's a very interesting language, by the way. Loy mitstarif lemaisa. Who's doing tzirufim here? What is loy mitzdarif?
He did attempt, but it didn't pan out.
Tried.
L'chayra. Rav Tzadik explains that if I had a machshava ra and I never actually did the avera, at a different time I did the avera b'shoigeg. So the question is this machshava ra mitzdarif to the shoigeg? And then he goes transgenerational. What if my great-grandfather had a machshava ra, and I actually did the aveir? He says, oh, that's it. You've just connected the two things. Okay, but it says, loyim itzarev l'mais. It's not a, but it's, he Rav Tzadik has a lot of this, by the way. He says, like, you take it to the positive side. Let's say I daven without kavana. So I have no machshava, you know. Like, I daven without kavana. So he says the tefillos, are not worthless. They stay in a holding pattern. And then if you daven once, but kavana, boom, like everything takes off.
Mitzdarif.
Yeah, mitzdarif. Shava toiva, mitzdarif levaisa. You know,
that's interesting because we're talking about connecting to Hashem. Hashem connecting to us. So here you have the case in the Gemara where someone who wants to be kosher and does everything, and we know nothing happens unless Hashem allows it to happen. So why would he allow someone who has the connection with Hashem?
That's why there's a carbon for a shoigeg.
And the opposite is, again, why would
that's why, that's why there's a carbon, but that's why there's a carbon chatos. You're right. There has to be something. But and that's why you do tshuva. you know, this terrible thing happened to Muncie, and everybody, you know, ate treif. I mean, they made a. In the Kehillah, I was the rabbi of. Nobody bought from that butcher because he was too frum. So it was like, what's wrong? You just buy from, you know. like he was like, the real frumies bought a cost more. So I didn't have those kind of balabatim. So everybody in the city had to make a tzayim except for our shul. Goes to teach you something, no? I mean, I haven't yet figured out after 20 years what the lesson is here, but there's something about this that's interesting. Yeah, what was it? Between? I mean, obviously, the whole Hilchus Mamrim, a Mumr Lahachas, Mumr L'Tayav, and a Mumr L'Davar Echad, all the different Mumrim are different. They all do the same Maisa, but the difference is in the qualitative aspect of the Maisa, which I'm saying, so let me say here for a minute, I'm saying, in any way you want to define it, we're talking about a different chelik of the Avera, which is called Hirhure Aveira, which is called V'yala B'yadai Basar Tlei, even if you didn't do an Aveira. But Hirhure Aveira, Kashim Aveira, in the sense that I violated the Machshava part of the Aveira, albeit that I didn't violate the Asiya, the Maisa part of the Aveira. In other words, my Aveira was in the Olam of Bria, maybe even in the Olam of Yitzira, but I never executed the crime. So therefore, I'm not chayiv in the world of asiya, but I am chayiv in the world of machshav. The only difference is, by the way, it seems to me, is not talking about your case where I had a thought, wow, I could really make a couple million dollars. I think on the contrary, there you get schar for not doing it because you had a yetzer to do it, you didn't do it. But I'm talking about actually a failed plan to do it based in can't be b'chayiv. The Sanhedrin can't kill you, but in Shabayim, I think it's pashut that you're a bad person. You have to do tshuva for it because you're a bad person. Vaharai and Yom Kippur, read all the chetz that have to do with my machshava, not only with my maisa. There's tons of them. The majority, maybe. I don't know. It didn't count, but I say that part fast. It makes me depressed. Okay, so let's, yeah. Okay, the shiloh is if there, that's a maisa, but that's a maisa. I'm saying like there's different levels of maisa. Putting the gun in your pocket, loading the gun, these are all maisa.
Along the way, you got into a car accident.
What's the difference where you're? So Hashem saved you from doing this avera. So clearly, b'dinei adam. That's what I'm saying. We don't tear down your house. You know, it's like clearly b'dinei adam. You're a potter. The question of Shemayim. Shabbayu has all to do with the relationship that I've breached between me and Hashem by doing this whole thing. I've taken my whole day planning out a murder. That's a total breach of relationship. And I even tried, and it didn't work. Hard to call the guy a tzaddik.
To break the two, because the Rav said the thing about fantasizing with a hero. And I'm wondering, like, maybe the hero is that part of it where I'm fantasizing, like a virtual reality thing. So I almost feel like
yeah.
Right.
Yep. There's apps that right.
Raps
here. Hurry up, era apps. Good apps. But don't confuse this. That there are certain things, as was mentioned, that the machshav itself is avera. Probably according to most shitas of the Gemara, Gilui Arayus is one of them. I think that's a machlekes of the how do you learn the Gemara? The Rad learns it one way, the Riff learns it a different way. But let's just say, to make this is not that kind of a shir because I'm not capable of that right now. But that's a sugya. But there are certain averas, like, you know, arayas. So a person is maharher ba'arayas, and never actually goes out and rapes somebody. So that to itself is and you see somebody You see so many halachas like this. Afilu daberi b'mei achorei ageder. You know, there's so many halachas of gilui arayis, avak gilui arayis, which are, these are chatoyim. Like, we have to make a distinction. I said avodah zarah because that's the clear one, and most not nogea to us. But what I am saying, there's certain averis which are b'machshav, and certain averis which are b'maisa. But eating treif, to make it easier here, eating treif is l'maisa. But still, if I'm thinking that I'm eating treif and I did nothing wrong, l'maisa, I still have severed my relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So now, if we can take this back to the Nefesh HaChayim, if one does a chet, there's really two aspects to it. And if we think of, if you define a chet, but more important, if you define a relationship, a relationship requires two people or two entities. I guess you could have a relationship with a cup of coffee, but you could have a relationship with God. You could have a relationship with another person. But if you, a one-way relationship is, I don't think is called a relationship. I don't mean in English, but I just don't think it's called a relationship. In fact, you could turn around one day and say, I thought we had a relationship. We don't have a relationship. So if you're talking about a relationship, so it means, and this brings it to down to earth for me. I hope I'm saying right, Pshat, the Nefesh HaChayim. We have a relationship and I do a chet. I have a relationship with Hashem and I do a chet. So what happened here is two things. Number one is I did a ma'aseh chet. If I did a ma'aseh chet, I have caused some kind of, I didn't do my tachlis in the world this day. You know, whatever it is that I was created for, everybody was something they were created for. So do it. I wasn't doing it. I was busy doing a chet. Okay. That's one problem. You didn't do your job. You're fired. You didn't do your job. But there's a deeper thing here, and that has to be, if I may speak in this kind of a language, that has to be bothersome to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because I created you for a purpose, and you're playing around. Like, what are you doing? You're not doing your machoivasei ba'olamai. Point A. Point B is, now that we've established, what about the relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? That also hurts Hashem, because it takes two to have a relationship. So you've severed the relationship. So that's another tsar for the Shekhinah. So there's two problems here when you think about it. There's two problems when a person does a chet. One is they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing, and they're doing something negative. They're like, we understand that, let's say, ecologically. Okay, it's one thing if you're not, if you're out there supposed to be planting trees. It's another thing if you're destroying the earth, you know. Don't destroy, just go home. That's an avera. But then there's another thing is that, you know, I trusted you. I created you. I trusted you. I gave you this tachlis. I gave you this job. I gave you such hashgacha pratis growing up until you got to the point where you could do this. Hashem is taking care of me all of my life. He has, by the way. For the little child, you start thinking of the hashgacha pratis, the miracle of growing up, however it is that we grow up. How many people did not have that miracle take place? I took care of you so much. How could you walk away from me like this? That's a different level of an avera and a higher level of an avera. So now a person has, here's the hard part. All this was easy. Here's the hard part. Yisurim. I have yisurim. What does it mean? We don't know. But how does, I just, like mathematically, logically, how does Yisurim fit into this whole story over here? We have two things going on. One is my job. Let's face that downwards, the world of Maisa. And then there's the world of Machsheva, my relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yeah, there's two things going on here. And if I do an Avera, so there is a possibility that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings Yisurim into the world. Now, and this is where it's difficult to understand the connection. So you could say the yeshivisha connection is that Yisurim somehow cleanse, memarek, the Avera. Kapara. Who said that? Kapara. No, well said, actually. Kapara. But there's slicha, there's mechila, there's kapara. There's the dry zach, right? So there's slicha, mechila, and kapara. So the Tiber Torah taught us that in early in Perek Aleph of Tiber Torah, you know, you bump into somebody on the bus, you know, slicha. You know, mechila means that I had more kavana with it. So when we're asking Hashem slicha, slach lanu, we're saying it's like I didn't mean anything with it. But when we're talking about, so we're saying Hashem forgive us. I'm sorry. Not forgive us. I'm sorry. Slicha. When we're saying mechila, we're saying not just I'm sorry, but let's try to restore the relationship. Are you with me here? In other words, somebody cheats on their wife, so, you know, like slicha doesn't do the trick. Mechila? Maybe. Possible. A person could be truly anguished over what they did, and a person could be truly apologetic of what they did and really feel bad. I don't know where my head was. I was crazy over it, you know. I just fell into this thing. Okay, a moichel. A still does not trust B. There's still some problem here. I mean, it still can't say that the relationship is what it was, you know, BA to AA. Like, it's just not going to be. So there's the kaper lanu, where you say, we're asking here for complete cleansing. Complete cleansing means ki'ilu, the whole thing never happened. That's hard. It's an avoida. Be'am l'chaver, because it borders on being stupid sometimes. But for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're asking kaper lanu. In other words, my tshuva is enough. The kaper, the washing kaper, means to cleanse. That's what the words mean. So you can understand that it's not just slicha, mechila, kapar. What are the yisurim doing? On the one hand, they're just somehow erasing the fact. Somehow, I don't know how, the kapara, the koifa, they're cleaning. They're erasing the fact that a chet was ever done. Seder. In that itself, there's two halakim here. Erasing the fact that it never done, okay, like, let's go back in history, it was never done. But what does it do? Yisurim can do that. What does it do about the relationship? So, I think that, you know, like, as long as there's Yisurim, that means there's a relationship. And it means ad boisai, ad yoy boisai tachakeloi. Like, as long as there's Yisurim, like, if somebody is so bad, you know, you throw them away, you're not punishing them, you're not anything. Just get out of my life. You know, but the fact that I'm, I can't hear you. Karis. Get out of my face. I don't want to have anything to do with you. Right? Loi biduf sheikh, loi biuk sheikh. I don't want anything for you. As long as there's Yisurim, what that means is a Kadosh Baruch Hu tickling the person, so to speak, to get back with the program.
There is a care.
This is not an easy thing for like an 11-year-old to chop, you know. And the truth of the matter is, I think our whole generation is a bunch of snowflakes. And it's very difficult for anybody to chop. That the Yisurim is a form of connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the truth of the matter is, Shalvas Rishayim, take your pleasure, to have it at Olam Hazeh, and go to hell. That's basically what we're saying. You know, literally. Where is this guy trying to, like on Yoy Boisai, Techakeloi, there's a waiting. And the fact of the matter is, sensitive people, look at Eov. Look at Menashe HaRasha. Menashe HaMelech, it was the biggest Russia, the Ritzayach, it was like the most horrible people in history. A Jewish anti-Semite. And Basov, he had Yisurim, but he did Tshuva. So it says in Tanakh, yeah. Mufurish. What does it mean, by the way? Ef koid aleichem is kolab aleichem. What does it mean? You're quoting it.
Remember it.
like Hashem Poka de Sora Kasher Omar. The relationship, the Yisurim, first of all, mean that there is a relationship, but Yisurim, for the mature, sensitive person, can bring back the relationship. That's all I'm saying. It's hard to know. It's like the Netziv said it. We said it over on the Netziv and Shir HaShirim. Cholos Avoni, that Shlomo HaMelech said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is not very effective. Like Yisurim is not being effective. Maybe Ava is a better way. You know, or as I said, how many people did tshuva because of the Holocaust? How many people did tshuva because of the Six-Day War? Probably the Six-Day War wins in terms of creating a Baal Tshuva movement. But that being said, the fact of the matter is the Yisurim is simply a way to get people to restore the relationship with it, whether we want them. You know, the Gemara says, Lo hate v'lo ischar. To British Ketuvos, let me try to do it myself. But the fact is, Yisurim sensitize us. Look, I just say a reality. The reality is that when somebody, God forbid, Lo Yoleinu, has Yisurim, the davening is better. They're closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Is that a fact? It's a fact. Davening, you daven better. I turn around, I see people daven with a lot of kavana. I say, oh, but I must have some kind of a tzara. I better minister to that guy. You know, I think it's a fact. You know, when you're davening, just davening. You know, like blah, 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 blah. So obviously everything is good. You know, so there is something to be said for I don't want Yisurim, but the Yisurim fit into this cycle, a cycle of Ahava. And when we talk about, just to get the words clearly before we end, Kol HaMashatev Shev Shemai Bitzarai. Koif Lin Loi Parnasasai. If there's two, and we find this, by the way, all over the place, by Tisha B'Av, you know, Laka B'Kiflayim, Nechama B'Kiflayim, there's always two parts. Always two parts. Reb Tzadik says that this is the pshat in kefil, even. Kefil, you steal something, you pay back twice. One's to you and one is between me and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I did two things. I did two averus here. One is I stole your sheep. And the other thing is what kind of person am I that could steal a sheep? Like, what's that? I severed my relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then he goes on to say that Arba V'Chamisha is all the violations you did to yourself. Which is very, very deep. Like, you know, I think if you're alone in a place and nobody sees you to do it, I'm very, like, you feel so awful afterwards. Like what are my here? I thought for all my living, I'm living a lie. Arba v'chamisha. Like, gewalt. But this, by the way, the Rambam in the Reb Tzadik is in the Pirush of the Rambam, Baba Kama, like, there's a little, he said that's where he speaks about.
Why is it we can understand this so well and so clearly? Say within our own bodies, if I have a tingling in my pinky, that doesn't go away. So I go to investigate what's going on, and I might not be surprised to find out, you know, there's a problem you have in your diet, and it's affecting your arteries, and you should be doing this. And I'll change my whole life around that, because it's very clear to me about this tingling in my pinky.
It was a chesed in a sense.
Yeah, but apparently, Yisurim are essentially doing the same thing.
Okay.
I'm
with you 100%, except I would be a liar if I would say that I don't mind tinkling in my pinky. I don't like it.
I want to see if I understand this correctly. Slicha is, excuse me, Chilam is I forgive you, and Kapara is I exonerate.
Right. But say it all in the same tense. Slicha, I excuse you.
Right. Oh, I excuse you? So what I believe I understood from what you're saying is that part of the process of exoneration is the price we pay for doing the chet. That's the suri.
Yes. You're kind in saying it that way because you're actually saying it better than me. But the yes. In other words, the yisurim is part of the mechila, and possibly be part of the kapara. I think those two, slicha, mechila, kapara. Excuse me, excuse you. Accidents happen. Mechila takes already avodas halev. That's one thing. Yisurim. does. And kapara is to actually make it as if the thing never happened. That's a deeper level. So again,
pay a price for that.
So that there. So this is all I want to say today was this: that there's a kefil. There's a kefil, and there's the tsar hashchina on two levels: the tsar hashchina of the relationship, and the tsar hashchina for the chet. Two levels of tsar hashchina, and if a person does tshuva. If you've mended both, not only have done tshuva for the chet, so you see how's it possible for a person to do tshuva on a chet, and it turns into schuyos, right? Doinos nasa kischuyos, like what kind of miracle is that? But the pshat is that we've seen this, that a person that a chet sometimes brings people together in a way they'd never been together before. Somehow or another, like a breach in a relationship can be a breach of relationship and create a world war, or a breach in a relationship can bring something to the attention, to center stage, and there's a lot of cheshbon nefesh. I don't know if you see it, I see it all the time. It brings it to center stage. There's a lot of cheshbon nefesh, and the kapara ends up being even a stronger thing than it was before. And I do trust you because I know we went through this process. It's anybody who's familiar with the 12-step program. I never went through a 12-step program, but I was at an advisory rabbi to a 12-step program. You have to marvel at the madrega that people are getting to, because it's way beyond any type of rehabilitation of just not doing a chet anymore, not doing whatever it is that they don't want to do, whether it's drugs, alcohol, talking too much, eating too much, whatever. It doesn't make any difference. It really doesn't make any difference. I think that's what was discovered. But because what happens is that there's a restoration of growth. Ad kedei kach, that the people that complete successfully a 12-step program are considered arrogant, you know? Like they actually sometimes look down on people that never were an alcoholic. I've said everything, but it's, I'm not saying everybody, but Yeshka's this feeling of sort of, you know, I've got a, Rabbi Twersky, Dr. Twersky once told me years and years ago, now he should have a refusal label, but at one time he told me that he doesn't go for Shabbos anywhere except for to 12-step program meetings. You know, Shabbos is Shabbos, Abishaber Shabbos, like you said, you invited him for a Shabbaton or something like that, he would never come. He'd speak here or there, but he would never go away for Shabbos, except so I said, why 12-step program? He says, because that's for my chizuk. That I'm going for my chizuk, I'm not going to give them chizuk. So that's what Shabbos is for. But it was an interesting thing. But okay, so tachlis, we have it clear. What we're talking about is kol habashatim shem shemayim betzarei koiflin loy parnasasai, that you get the kefil back because there's two parts to the chet b'meila, there's two parts to the reconciliation, and b'meila, the bracha that comes out is kischuyos, it ends up being off in a better place than you were, and this is called b'shatev shev shemayim b'tzarei. I'm bringing HaKadosh Baruch Hu into this picture.